Talking. This is D.G. Martin, and my very special guest today on Who's Talking is a guy we all in Chapel Hill either know and love or have heard about. He's just celebrated his 100th birthday, and he's going to share that birthday celebration with us. Clarence Whitefield, welcome to Who's Talking.
Thank you, D.G.
How about playing Happy Birthday just to get things started? In honor, honor of your 100th birthday. Wow. Well, that's a great way to start out and to celebrate your birthday. Clarence, we want to talk a little bit about what you've learned about Chapel Hill in the last 100 years, but first of all, tell us about your birthday celebration.
Well, a couple of days ago, I celebrated my 100th birthday. We had about 200 people in the auditorium at Carolina Meadows, and we had a ball.
Wow. Well, 200 people is a lot of people, a lot of friends who, for a 100-year-old guy to have, you must have been making some new friends along the way.
I've made lots of new friends, and I'm good. Love them all.
Well, Clarence, talk to us first about, I don't want to say you're best known, but you are well known as a harmonica player. And how did you happen to develop this expertise? How did that come along?
When I was about 9 years old, my father talked to Santa Claus and got him to bring me a harmonica. My father, who played a five-string banjo beautifully, but also he could play the harmonica, he taught me how to play Home Sweet Home and Home on the Range. I was 9 years old, and I just kept it up.
Have you got the same harmonica that you got for that Christmas?
No way.
Well, along the way, what were some of the milestones of your playing harmonica? You obviously, from the Happy Birthday rendition that you gave us, you've become an expert. Were you always able to play this well?
If I can hum it, I can usually play it.
Well, what's the trick?
I don't know. God-given, I guess. I just pick it up, and if I can hum it, I can play it.
How does... go ahead.
So one of the favorite things that I play these days, of course, is Carolina fight songs.
And so, like, I could, speaking of musical memory, I could probably whistle some of these tunes that you play, but how do you translate your memory of the music into... what you do with harmonica, huffing and blowing and moving it around in your mouth. How does that become natural?
It comes naturally to as an apt description. I just pick it up and it just sort of comes natural once you've played it a few times.
Well, that is it God's gift or is it something that you've had to work on to get? Because most of us can't make the harmonica come out with the kinds of tunes you can do.
Well, one other thing you said just a minute ago about moving it around, I do one other thing that a lot of people don't do. I can play it with no hands.
Well, how can you do that?
Well, you just put it up in your mouth and you grip it with your lips and you play it.
So that
your tongue goes up and down the scale.
Uh huh. Well, I wish we could see. Now, for those who might not know, what was that tune that you just played?
Hark the Sound.
Hark the Sound. What was the first tune that you picked up and that you were adept at as a little boy? What were you, a 7 year old boy? You got
9 years.
9 years old.
9 years old. And I played Home Sweet Home and Home on the Range.
Fantastic. Well, Clarence, you got this as a nine-year-old. Tell us about your growing up years. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Durham, but the Depression came along when I was about 9 years old, and we moved from Durham to Chapel Hill. So a lot of my growing up was in Chapel Hill.
Well, did that make you a Tar Heel fan?
From the very beginning.
This would have been now almost 90 years ago. What was Chapel Hill like? How is it different from today, 90 years ago?
It was a village.
What do you mean?
It was a very, very small town. And I got to know my neighbors, and 1932, I was 10 years old. One of my neighbors took me to a Carolina football game, and I'll never forget that game. Carolina played Georgia Tech, and you know what the motto, I mean, the of Georgia Tech was in those days? It was the Rambling Wreck. Rambling Wreck of Georgia Tech. And
hell of an engineer.
That's right. And it was they had an old yellow Ford convertible that they drove onto the field, you know, and that was a Rambling Wreck.
And that was your first encounter with college football?
Absolutely.
Do you remember who was playing then? This was 1930.
Football.
Yeah, 1932?
I have no idea.
You don't remember the names of any of the players from that era?
Well, I could name some, but I don't remember from having remembered it.
Uh-huh.
No, just went in the Georgia game.
Well, do you remember how that game turned out?
Well, I'm sure Carolina won.
Well, I can't run a check on you. Well, did you continue to be able to go to the Carolina football games as you grew up, and did you become a fan, or were you interested in other things?
No, I didn't have the opportunity to go to many games back in those days. That was a special occasion when I got to go with one of my neighbors. But it was a long time after that before I got a chance to go to Carolina football games again.
Well, what did you do during those days in the 30s to entertain yourself as you were growing up in Chapel Hill?
I learned to play harmonica.
Well, I'm glad you did that.
More and more.
Uh-huh. And so that's been a blessing for you almost all your life, is your ability to play.
It has been. Later we moved back to Durham. And I graduated from Durham High School in 1940. After graduating from high school, I came to Carolina. So I've been back and forth between these two communities all my life.
What factors did you take into account when you decided where to go to college? Was it just automatic that you'd go to Carolina? Why didn't you consider Duke or some of the other nearby colleges?
Oh, we had a good friend. And he said, Clarence, when you go to Carolina, and I said, I can't go to Carolina. I don't have any money. He said, yes, you do. You have friends. He introduced me to Roy Armstrong. Roy Armstrong says, we'll find a way. Come on. And so we did.
That was Armstrong, a college official, Roy Armstrong.
He was He was director of admissions back in those days.
So you went to see him, and he worked this out for you?
Found me a job that paid enough for me to pay my room rent and so forth. And so I always be indebted to him.
Well, I think all of us will be indebted to him for getting you off on that start. Well, Clarence, was your family poor or just struggling, or did y'all have more resources? What did your dad do for a living?
Poor and struggling was a good description of us back in those days. My father sold monuments, tombstones, and when the Depression came along, his business died about as fast as anyone, because that was something that people didn't have to have. They could put off buying a monument. And so we moved from Durham to Chapel Hill, and he worked for the library on one of these government programs, WPA or whatever it was back in those days. And I think he made 25 cents an hour.
Well, where did your dad grow up? Did he grow up in the Orange County?
He grew up in Person County.
In Person. What got him to come to Chapel Hill in the first place?
The Depression.
Mm-hmm. Well, did Clarence, you talk to people, and some people, everybody was struggling, but some people really had really hard times. Were you all...
We were among those who were having a hard time.
How did that?
I grew up with a family of six children, and so my father was always struggling to get enough together to feed six children. So everywhere we went, we had a garden, and that helped a whole lot.
And a garden won't do it all, though. You had to have some groceries, I guess.
Yeah. My mother did a lot of canning.
Uh-huh.
And when we moved to Chapel Hill, we had a pear tree. And mother cut those pears off of there, wrapped them in newspaper, and kept them. And I would carry a pear to school in December. And people would say, where in the world did you get that pear?
Well, tell us about going to school in Chapel Hill when you were young.
Well, I got to know a lot of people back in those days who remained friends of mine for life. When I came back to Chapel Hill, I already had a group of friends whom I considered my personal friends.
Clarence Whitefee, we're talking to you on your 100th, following up on the occasion of your 100th birthday, and we're talking about what it's like to have lived in Chapel Hill during the 30s. And Clarence Whitefee and I will be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking? If you joined us late, I'm visiting with Clarence Whitefee, and we're doing it on the follow-up of the occasion of his 100th birthday. Many years alive and many years spent in Chapel Hill and many years playing the harmonica. And Clarence, for those who joined us a little bit later on, could you play us another tune on your harmonica? Is it handy?
Certainly can.
Clarence, I'm embarrassed to ask, what was that tune? Clarence?
Yeah, I'm here.
What was that tune that you just, that was beautiful. Thank you. What was it?
So, I have to stop and think what tune I just played for you.
Don't worry about it. No.
It was Wildwood Flower.
Wildwood Flower. Well, it was fantastic. It's fantastic. And if anybody, if you just joined us late, I'm visiting with Clarence Whitefield on the occasion of his 100th birthday, which he celebrated a few days ago. And he celebrated, as he'd been celebrating it since he was a young boy, by playing the harmonica, and he's sharing some of that with us, and we'll get him to play some more tunes later on. Clarence, this is a long shot, but thinking about your going to school in Chapel Hill, are there any many of the teachers that you still remember who were important to you growing up, any of the early teachers? Can you remember any of them names?
Mrs. Simmons taught the fifth grade in Chapel Hill, and I remember her very well because she was a taskmaster. You always remember the tough teacher.
That's exactly what. In what ways was she tough? How was she tough?
I don't remember. I just remember that we regarded her as a tough teacher. Tough teacher, yeah.
How about, did you then stay in the Chapel Hill schools? Where did you go to high school?
No, during the Depression years, we lived in Chapel Hill, and then later we moved back to Durham, and I graduated from Durham High School in 1940. It's interesting that you can't go to Durham High School anymore. The building is there, but it's not Durham High School. But the people who went to Durham High School have kept that cadre of people alive. And today we have an annual meeting of Durham High Forever, Durham High Forever, which is open to anyone who went to Durham High School 65 years or more ago. And we still have that meeting annually.
Well, that's great. Well, what did they change the name to? What's the name of Durham High School today? Don't worry about it.
I forgot the exact name, but it has to do with music.
With that, when you were a senior in high school, you were in Durham, and how did you happen to get interested in going to Chapel Hill for college?
Well, we had met friends in Chapel Hill when we were living on here, and Dr. Cecil Johnson, who taught history at UNC, was very instrumental in me going to college. He's the one told me to go see Roy Armstrong. Cecil Johnson and his wife, Lucia, were just wonderful, wonderful friends of my family. And I'm deeply indebted to him for encouraging me to go to college.
Well, when you got to college then, you were familiar with the surroundings of the town. You weren't like other young freshmen at college who were in a strange place. You could take people around and show them all of Chapel Hill.
Oh, yeah. I went to Chapel Hill. I roomed on Macaulay Street with Mrs. Fowler, whose sons ran Fowler Food Store in Chapel Hill. I had a room in her house along with several other Carolina students. And so I was feeling very much at home.
So you were in a house where you could walk to the campus. You were close enough to walk.
Oh, yeah.
And when you signed up to spend the night or stay with someone, did it come with, did they feed you too? Did you eat on campus?
No, I ate on campus.
What were the meals like on campus?
Well, after the war, we had Lenore Hall, which was a good dining area, and I ate there most of the times. But I also ate downtown on Franklin Street at a restaurant where I worked my way for meals. Waiting on tables.
What was the name of that restaurant? Do you remember?
Well, it wasn't the Four Corners. It was later became the Four Corners, but it was I think it was University Cafe. It was next to the post office there.
And you, what, you had a job? Did you have a job there?
Yeah, I waited tables.
And so part of the compensation was that they would give you a bargain, or you could eat for free, or you'd eat for a reduced price or something?
Eat for free.
So you, you'd work and tank up at the same time and not have
That's
to
right.
worry about paying for food. Clarence, as a young freshman, what courses did you take and which ones were the hardest for you?
Math was the hardest thing I took, but I never really regarded any of them as particularly hard. I just worked hard enough to earn my way. Strange thing about it was I struggled academically before the war because I had so much time working. I didn't have time to study. After the war was over with, I went in the Army for 4 years, came back after the war, and I had the GI Bill help pay my way, and I made the dean's list regularly after the war was over with.
Well, there's some controversy whether you're the class of 44 or the class of 48. What class were you in?
Well, I started out in the class of 44 because I enrolled as a freshman in 1940. But Uncle Sam barred me for 4 years, so I didn't get to finish. After the war was over with, I came back to Chapel Hill, re-enrolled, and graduated in 48 in journalism.
Well, I'm visiting with a guy who just celebrated his 100th birthday, Clarence Whitefield, well known to all of us, and we all enjoy his harmonica playing. And if you'll stick with us during this break, when we come back, we'll listen to Clarence Whitefield play his harmonica again. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm visiting with Clarence Whitefield, one of our good friends, and good friends to most people in, or to many people in Chapel Hill. And he's just celebrated his 100th birthday, and he celebrated it by playing the harmonica. Clarence, would you play us one more tune?
Sure.
Oh, you are my sunshine. Clarence Whitefield is playing the harmonica with us. And tell us a little bit about his growing up years in Durham and in Chapel Hill and being a student at Chapel Hill until the war years intervened. And Clarence, you said you served in the Army during the Second World War. What kinds of, how did you happen to get into the Army, and what happened once you got there?
I got a letter of greetings. Drafted into the Army in 1942, and I was shipped off to Camp Campbell, Kentucky. It's now Fort Campbell, but it was Camp Campbell. We were the first unit that moved into there. It was the 12th Armored Division, and I was in division headquarters. And when I went into the Army, they said, "What do you want to be in?" Well, I had an older brother who was Army Air Corps. I said, "I want to be in the Air Corps." Well, that was the last I heard about the Air Corps. I sent up there to Kentucky. They were interested in two things about me. Number one, I was had 2 years of college, which most draftees did not have. And the other thing was that I could type 60 words a minute.
Wow, wow.
I had taken typing in high school. And so with 2 years of college and typing 60 words a minute, I became a clerk in division headquarters of the 12th Armored Division. And I stayed with him as an enlisted man all during the war years. After the war was over with, I stayed in the Army of Occupation for a year.
Where were you? Were you in Japan or Germany?
Germany.
Uh-huh.
Germany. And I was very fortunate because I was in division headquarters, and it was a very strategic place to be because I saw all kinds of opportunities that other people didn't have. And one of them was to appear before a board of officers to get a commission. So I was promoted to, first of all, as a warrant officer, and later as a second lieutenant. I came home as a first lieutenant out of the war. It's interesting that I lost my brother over there, and he was in the Army Air Corps and shot down over Germany and was killed. And I went to England on a leave right after the war was over with. He had made friends with an English family over there in Norwich, England, and he had left a dress uniform with them, which he wore when he came back off of a flight. And I picked up that uniform with me, took off his Air Corps insignia and put on my Army Adjutant General's Corps insignia, and I wore that uniform home.
Wow, what a sad and also uplifting memory and story. It comes back when you were talking to us earlier. You mentioned that you had sort of hoped to be in the Air Corps because your brother was, and I guess it was a blessing for us that you weren't, because maybe we wouldn't have you if we might have lost you like we lost your brother.
I've thought about that too.
When you would visit in England, would you take your harmonica along?
I'm sure I did, but I don't remember much about it.
Well, if you were there today, what song?
It was just a matter of a few days.
Just a few days of being there. But just pretend like you're going there, going back in time and then going to England. What song might you play, and would you play it for us on your harmonica today?
Well, I'd have to play some song that the British were aware of and so forth. It probably would have been "You Are My Sunshine."
Yeah, well, play that again. That's a beautiful song. Well, that's great. So Clarence Whitefield beautifully played on the harmonica, and we want you to come home from the war and tell us how you got back into University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Well, there was no question about it when I came back out of the war that I was going to go back to Carolina, where I had 2 years before the war. So I had 2 years after the war in the School of Journalism, which I had gotten interested in as a young boy. I was interested in journalism. And so I graduated in 1948 and had a very close relationship with the journalism school all through the years. And my career was in journalism. And
What was your first job out of school? Your first
reporter for the Durham Morning Herald, where I had worked when I was in high school. I had worked for them for nothing, no pay, just for the experience of doing it. And enjoyed it.
After so, how long did you work for the Durham paper?
10 years.
And what made
I worked for the Durham Hunter for 10 years? Didn't pay very well, and I'm sure people who own the paper would acknowledge that. But anyway, I stayed in for 10 years till I found a better paying job. And my next paying job was PR director at Duke University.
Well,
I had gotten to know Dr. Charlie Jordan. Dr. Charlie Jordan was vice president of Duke, and he was on the city school board, and I had covered board meetings at the city school board, so I had gotten to know him. And when that job of PR director came open, I asked him if he had somebody to fill it, and he said, no, are you interested? I said, yes. So I went out and talked with him and Dr. Hollis Edens, who was president of Duke at the time. The three of us sat down and chatted, and they hired me. And I stayed with Duke for 14 years. And I was over there in my office one day. Half a dozen people walked into my office one day unannounced. I said, what's all this? They said, we're from over Chapel Hill. You've been over in this enemy camp long enough. We need you back in Chapel Hill. And so they hired me as an alumni director at Carolina. So I came back in 1970 as alumni director, spent the rest of my career at Carolina.
What were the highlights of your experience working as alumni secretary?
Well, the first thing I did was get the Alumni Association on a firm financial footing. Bless his heart. Spike Saunders was my predecessor as alumni director, and he was a great guy, good PR man, but he didn't have a very good financial situation for the Alumni Association. And so I worked and got the Alumni Association on a firm financial footing, which my successor, Doug Dibbert, is enjoying the fruits of now.
Well, that's interesting. For those of us who live in Chapel Hill and follow this, between you and Doug Dibbert, you've managed the Alumni Association now for almost 70 years. I mean, it's a long tenure when you add your experience working there and Doug Dibbert's experience.
That's true.
Did you have any big challenges other than the financial ones? Did any of the alumni cause you trouble or ask you to do things that you could or ask for things that you couldn't deliver?
No. We work to organize chapters of the Alumni Association all over the state and even out of state. And I did an awful lot of traveling for the Alumni Association during those days.
Well,
but the other thing we did was we converted the alumni record system from an old address array plate to a computerized system. Computers were just in their infancy back in those days, and I came along at the right time to put all the alumni records on computer.
Well, if you joined us late, I'm visiting Clarence Whitefield on the occasion, or the nearby occasion of his 100th birthday, and he and I will be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. If you joined us late, I'm visiting with Clarence Whitefield, longtime alumni, director of the Alumni Association, and he's told us about his life growing up in Chapel Hill and Durham, and even perhaps more importantly, shared with us some of what he shared along the way, and that is cheerfully playing the harmonica. Clarence, I promised when we closed out the last section that I'd kind of open it up for you to say what's on your mind at the time of your 100th birthday, and we're already looking forward to your 200th birthday celebration.
Not 200, 101 maybe. Well, you're kind, DJ. I've enjoyed your friendship through the years and continue to do so. I think that the thing I remember most about my 100th birthday is the beautiful program we had in the auditorium at Carolina Meadows a few nights ago. We had 200 people at that occasion, and it's one that I'll treasure for the rest of my life. And I think all the people who were there probably feel the same way about it.
Clarence, was there any surprise, any special surprise among all of those 200 people who came? I bet you there were lots of them. Can you share one or two of the people that you saw who came back and that you were especially glad to see?
My wife had a cousin up in Rhonda, North Carolina. That's up near North Wilkesboro. Who's been a good friend of mine through the years, and I was happy to see he drove all the way down from Rhonda to be with us for that occasion. His name is Davis.
Well,
and those are the kind of things that you'll just treasure for the rest of your life.
Well, we'll treasure knowing you, Clarence Whitefield. You've made many friends, and I'm proud to be one of them. I promised that I would give you time to close us out with a tune of your choice. So would you play the harmonica for us one more time? That's great. Now we do have an extra minute, and you've played both the fight song and the Carolina alma mater. Can you combine that and close us out by singing or by playing those two songs? Well, Clarence Whitefield, thank you so much for sharing your musical talents with us as you've done over 100 years. Congratulations on your recently celebrated 100th birthday party with 200 of your best friends at Carolina Meadows. We're so proud to be your friend and so grateful for your contributions and your wonderful spirit and friendship, not just for Carolina people, but also for people who live in Durham and Chapel Hill and all around. Many happy returns. Can't wait for your 101st. Take care, Clarence Whitefield. And thanks to you for listening. Our guest has been Clarence Whitefield. We'll look forward to celebrating his 101st birthday at the same time next year. Clarence, thank you, sir.
My pleasure. DG.
This is DG Martin. This has been Who's Talking, and I'll be back here before you know it.